Hi there, this is Tracy Malone, and I am here with Dwayne from Dad Surviving Divorce. And I have watched his channel from the very beginning because I went through a divorce. And so I'd love to talk with you today, Dwayne. Welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me, Tracy. I really appreciate you bringing me on your show.
Yeah, well, you've been doing so many great things, and I've watched your viewership go up, and I've watched all the people that engage with you, and you've come a long way, and you're really changing lives.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's a great community. I'm really every day I'm impressed with the interaction and the compassion and the empathy that everybody in the comments has. I've been fortunate enough that I haven't really had many trolls, like maybe a couple since I've started. And everybody's been really great. It's really awesome. And to see the progression of people who are really hurting to, you know, figuring things out, learning to transitioning to being a lot better, it's really exciting to watch.
Yeah. And I know for me, we get people that come into our channels and into our world in such different stages of we're divorced, finding out they're with a narcissist. There's just so many different emotions. And I'm sure this works in the same world as yours. They're either finding out or they're on the last bit, wish they knew more. So let's start off with some advice for someone that is just starting out with a divorce, and this is someone that they believe to be a narcissist. What's the best piece of information you've got for them?
Well, the best thing, and one of the things that I routinely go over on my channel, is you have to get a hold of your emotions and look at everything rationally and not respond emotionally. I mean, as you know, narcissists feed off of reactions. That doesn't mean that they have to win. Their victory is just getting you. I mean, if they can get you to just get, you know, and crazy, so to speak, and be mad or yell at them or whatever, that is a win to them. And it's really a tough mindset, because you don't, when this whole thing starts, you're so frustrated and you want to hold the person accountable that you're just drawn to fight them. And it's really counterproductive. And I think, and your story is a good example of it, that if they're able to do it effectively, you can torpedo yourself in a really bad way and not even realize it. You can just be responding to a situation that you think you're responding, not necessarily normal, but appropriately. And they're sitting back, they're plotting, you take the right steps, and then they're able to, get you jailed, get you a restraining order, get you, if you have young kids, to use it as a mechanism to take your kids away from you. And that doesn't matter whether you're the dad or the mom. I've seen it both ways. So it's not a gender specific situation either. So the first thing is, you have, as soon as you suspect that you're dealing with a narcissist, you need to absolutely treat them like that. You need to learn everything you can, like Grey Rock. In a divorce with kids, you really can't go no contact. I coined a term called hybrid no contact, where you minimize those interactions to protect yourself and to take a lot of the power that your narcissist or suspected narcissist has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's really important, because I know I talk to a lot of people that just get into such an emotional place, and they're so shocked that the person that they married could be pulling these tricks on them. And nobody seems to understand. Nobody seems to know how to help them. And they are obviously turning towards YouTube, turning towards blogs, books, and just grasping for help, because I don't feel like the legal system, the judges, really understand it. And so I think the narcissist has a bit of an advantage there, where
absolutely
their tricks go kind of under the wire. And
and then they're able to use our actions against us. I mean, it's the problem is that you have to change, you basically almost have to change your core person on who you're dealing with, right? Otherwise they will use every part of your empathy, every part of your compassion or your guilt or whatever against you to manipulate the situation and control you. And like you said, control the legal system as well. It's not fair. I mean, that's a given, but there are some things that you can do to help yourself. There are some things that you can, especially if you catch it early on, right? I mean, like in my situation, I didn't realize until like 2 years into the divorce that it was narcissism. Now, just to be clear, she's never been diagnosed. I can, obviously, I do not have the, you know, the ability or the authority to diagnose someone. But what I can say is when my therapist, after just, I mean, I just was circling, you know, down into a sea of abyss, right?
And I know that one.
she had actually said to me at one point, and it was getting really bad. I mean, I was really in a bad space. And she said, you know, I can't, and she basically the same thing. She was like, I've only talked to her once. I don't really know her. But it really sounds like you're dealing with a narcissist. And I remember when she first said that, it actually kind of annoyed me. I'm like, okay, whatever. All right, give me the term. I'll look it up. I'm like, great, some other little, you know, term that means nothing is what I initially thought. But I went home, typed it up on Google, you know, and initially it was, you know, blogs and stuff that came up. And I was floored. I mean, 2.5 years in 2.5 years of divorce, at this point, you know, 22, 23 years of a relationship, we divorced at 20 years, and everything made sense. I mean, the last 20 some odd years made sense. Everything that was going on right then and there made sense. It was the first bit of closure I got, but it's just, and for people who learn this at the beginning stages, I mean, if you're right at the point where you're either thinking about that divorce is in the works, or you've just done it, you've just been served, or you've been just discarded, or maybe you just reached your wit's ends and you're like, I can't deal with this anymore, I'm done. If you can learn about it on day one so that you don't make a lot of the mistakes a lot of people make, you will be in a much better position. And I think it'll reduce your recovery time as well. At least that's my hope. I've seen that a little bit with some of the folks on my channel that, like I was talking about earlier, were start out really in a bad place and just overwhelmed, and then things progressively get better.
Yeah, I know all of what you're saying makes perfect sense, because so many victims don't know that they've been in an abusive relationship. They don't know what a narcissist is.
Yeah.
You've been married to someone and you just, you know, you accept their faults and work around
as you're supposed to, right?
Exactly. And you're like, okay, well, they aren't good at that, so I'll pick up that. And, you know, you start to eventually take on more and more and more until the part of the divorcing comes along. And I have just seen so many people that have been just slammed with shock and surprise, saying, how could this be? And I know that the courts absolutely do not want to hear the word narcissist.
Nope.
They just...
Unless you... I did... Whoops, I think we...
Go ahead.
I think our internet's dropping in and all, but... No, what I was going to say is I did an interview with Joe Cordell from Cordell Cordell earlier this year. It was an awesome opportunity to talk with him. And he discussed a little bit of that. And he said, you know, if you have the money and the funds and you can hire experts, then it's okay to use those personality disorders and stuff like, and you know, and diagnosis and try to isolate it. But if you don't have the funds and you don't have the way to do it, you're right. Do not go in there saying, you know, they have a personality disorder, they're a narcissist, you know, and are there a sociopath or whatever, because it hurts your own credibility, right? Because everyone going in a divorce hates every, you know, I mean, you walk in, everyone hates everybody. Everybody is slinging mud around. So most of it's not believed. You have to make sure that your credibility is good so that what you're saying is believed. And primarily by doing that is that you, and what he suggested, and I think it's spot on, is focusing on behavior. You know, focusing on what they do, not saying that they're a monster and they shouldn't be around, you know, your kids, but saying, you know, I really want them to have a relationship with their mom or their dad, but I'm really concerned about these actions. These behaviors are just, I'm really worried about that. And I'm worried about how it would affect, you know, impact our children, you know, and to be that, and it's tough, right? I mean, when you're in a situation and you get to the point where we realize that we're dealing with a monster, we realize that our entire life was an illusion. I think a lot of us, once it starts to come out, we know. I mean, we can look at it and go, oh, wow, you saw all the warning signs. You just chose to ignore them. And it makes it tough because the last thing you want to do is show any compassion for the person because you're so angry. But it's critical that you can maintain your composure, control your emotions, and be rational and come across as sincere and genuine. Otherwise, you hurt your own position.
Absolutely. So, and I think so many people that go into the courtroom don't understand that their behavior there is what the judge is watching. And if you start, you know, spewing at the mouth that, you know, he did, she did, this happened, right. You have to let the lawyers take and know what to do with what's going on. Because if you
absolutely
become the emotional one in the courtroom, they're going to be able to point the crazy finger at you and go, see, I told you she was crazy. And that's only going to hurt your case. And
there's exactly
defense for us. So we have to leave it in the hands of the judges and show that we are sane. Right?
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, that's the key. And if you go in and you do, and I talk about this a lot on my channel with folks, and I do think that if you do make a mistake, right? Let's say you do something wrong. You respond emotionally and they are able to just key in on it and take advantage of it. It does set you back, but it's not a death nail in the whole situation. What I mean is that, okay, so as, I mean, you know, so the stereotypical dad gets our father in the situation is going to get angry and, you know, it's a scary mean guy concept, right? So if I had done that, right? So when I was being poked and prodded, had I responded in a way that would have justified, I mean, that would have been an example of, oh, see, like you were just saying, see, he is angry and out of control and I'm scared and I need protection, right? Mm-hmm. Even if you do make that mistake, you got to get a handle on yourself real quick. And then whatever the court tells you, you need to do anger management class. I mean, you're going to add a whole extra lot of work and it's going to make it a lot more complicated, but don't allow that to crush your spirit to think that you can't ever win. I mean, the other thing on this is none of this, especially with a narcissist, is easy, right? I don't know how many people think that they get their suspected narcissist back on the ropes. I was talking about this in a video the other day. And they think they won, right? It's like, finally, I got them. These people are amazing how they can twist and turn and get out of things. I think primarily it is they don't have any empathy and they don't have any integrity and they don't have any guilt for what they're doing. So if they torpedo you or they lie about you or they lie saying that they didn't do anything, it doesn't mean anything to them. Whereas with us or with a normal, you know, neurotypical type person, they would feel guilty about it. They'd have a hard time doing it. These people don't. And you have to be aware of that because their tenacity to not give up is incredible.
Yeah. So, I know. They tend to be the worst divorces out there. I had a 7-trial divorce and wow. He was contempt of court. I think 5 of them quit his job during the hearings to say he couldn't afford any kind of payment.
Child support and alimony. Yeah.
You know, he didn't want any of his belongings and then accused me of stealing everything. I mean, it was just one game after another. And, it's hard when you're down in the trenches. And I know when people have children, that is the hardest part of all. And
oh yeah,
you've got children. Can we talk to that a little bit?
Yo, absolutely. I have 3 children. One just turned 18. Which is my son. And I have a daughter who's 16. And then my youngest is 11. So I still have a ways to go on this. I mean, so the first one is just entering in as an adult. But I still have, 7, a little over 7 years that I'm going to still be tied to this person pretty much a daily basis. You know, I mean, it's a complicated situation. And the thing is, and you were talking about this, like in your situation, how it just keeps going, you know, in a normal situation, okay. Yeah. People will be mad, right? I mean, that's typical, you know, your feelings are hurt or whatever, but in a short period of time, you calm down.
Right.
With a narcissist, it doesn't happen. And like in your situation, whenever this court stuff happened, my guess would be that as you were trying to fight him fighting you, you were just feeding into his supply. I mean, so it was like, it wasn't stressing him out. It was stressing, I'm sure it was stressing you out, but it wasn't necessarily doing anything negative for him. And if he had the ability to still fight it or pay for his attorneys, you know, these people would just keep going and going and going. Yeah. You know, and what I was going to say is, I mean, so I'm at my, I will have been divorced, I think 5 years in June. And then the separation is in August. So August will be 6 years separated. The same silly stuff is going on. The same behavior. The only thing different that's changed is my interaction with it. But I guarantee you, if I still interacted with her the same way I did 4 or 5 years ago, I would be dealing with the same silliness and the same, you know, really overt nightmare today. It's just, I finally said, I'm done with it and started learning. And once I figured out what I was dealing with, started taking steps to help myself deal with it, create a better environment for our kids, for my kids anyways, to try to stabilize things. And that's been a tremendous positive change with the kids. So
I think it's so important. I was talking with someone this week, and it is about them trying to cut you down and put you back into that, like, crawled up like a little ball person. And when they get that, when that happens, they know that that works. So they're going to try it again next
time. Oh, yeah.
And so I was explaining to her to just, like, accept that this has happened. And right now your son is safe. He might have threatened you. He might have done all this. And she was ready to check into a hospital. She was so crazed and fearful. And I get the fear, but that's what he wanted. That was all he wanted there. He really wasn't going to take your kid. He just wanted to make you like that, because then now you can't help.
Emotional control.
Yeah, now you can't help the child because you're a wreck and you're crying and you can't work and he's financially abusing you. So it is a cycle, and the only one that can stop it is us. We have the power
Absolutely.
To say, you know what, that sucks, but I see what it is, and I'm going to turn it around in my own mind and not let it bother me and never let him know that this hurt me, so that he doesn't know that that supply he tried works.
Yeah, that's where, I mean, and that's a really great point. And that's where the gray rock technique comes in really handy, or is critical, because you don't want them to know what gets to you, right? Mm-hmm. If they see something and they see you responding like, oh, you know, she gets upset whenever I talk about, you know, the whatever, you know, her crafts or whatever, right? I mean, whatever they think is important, they're going to target in on that.
Mm-hmm.
Get to the point to where you can just let that stuff go. Because if you don't, it's going to consume you. It's going to tear you apart.
So thank you, Dwayne, for coming and talking to us about surviving divorce. I suggest that everybody goes to his channel, male or female. So even though it says dad,
thanks.
Lots of great help and support. And there's so many different factors that can be affected when you're going through, from child and, you know, every single detail. And if you're going through a divorce, talk to Dwayne, because he's great. And I want to thank you for joining me today.
Oh, thank you, Tracy. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. Thanks for giving me an opportunity to talk to your audience. And thanks for having me on. It was a great conversation.
Great. Thank you.